work. We're gonna have problems. Like any family, we're gonna have problems. Amen. Think about the problems that the family / church of God has had from the beginning. If it was God's design, why did it have so many problems? To show his glory. To show his glory. Because if he can do the miraculous with a vessel so weak as this, how great is our God? If he can show a world a good God, what can he do? Amen. If he can use me, amen, to invite somebody to living water, to pray and to pray for someone's healing, and it actually happens, we know you don't personally heal people, right? You ain't the witch doctor. You don't got it. So how good is our God when he uses broken vessels as we? He is so good. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That applies within our families. Amen. It can be really easy to apply that to people that don't sleep in the same house as we do. To love them the way he loved us first. I'm telling you, it is a strong witness to an unbeliever when you have a family that has genuine love. I mean, really, tell me about a better witness, right? Churches, you know, Sunday, Thursday, we can all put on a show for a minute. But when you spend time with a family and you can tell they genuinely love each other, those same old faces that see each other Sunday through Sunday, you can tell they're not perfect, but they're forgiving. Amen? What a witness to a lost world. And that's exactly what this world needs. Amen? That's the discipleship we need to be bringing into our lives, is to bring people in contact and relationship, not just with the church, but with our families. Amen? To see this is what a husband and wife looks like when we're serving God. And guess what? You can have this too, Pastor. If he led us here in the first place and he saw the foolishness that I would get into, amen, he doesn't just want me to jump ship, right? I heard at a PI one time, I think it was Brother Foster, said we need and this is getting really real, so I'm sorry, it just is what it is. We need to treat church, leaving a church, like getting a divorce. Like it's serious. Like it's really serious. Because this is a family that you've chosen, not just before people, but before God. And we need to treat it seriously like a divorce. We need to treat it very, very seriously and not like another flavor of cereal in the morning. Amen? It is so serious. It ought to hurt. It hurts me just to think about it right now. Lord, help me. Relational integrity. Relational integrity is... treating people the same way, no matter the audience or the cost. Relational integrity is treating people the same way, no matter the audience or the cost. So we know that so often our family gets our emotional leftovers. Does anyone have a contribution or an idea? Why in the world do we often treat our families worse than anyone else? Anyone? People that you have chosen to love for better or for worse. Familiarity. You want to expound on that a little bit? The whole COVID shutdown gave me a new appreciation for the church. Amen? This family. And I know that sometimes when we have hospital stays or times where, times where we're away from our families, that gives us a fresh appreciation for our family. Amen? But then we ought to think about, why in the world do we have a fresh appreciation for our family? They're no different. They're same warts, same bad habits, same annoying, phrases that they say every day. Same annoyances. Why in the world do we appreciate them more? I think it's because we realize this isn't a guarantee. And I don't, not everyone has this. I don't have to have this. Like, I'm very blessed to have the family that I have. Amen? I am. I'm incredibly blessed. It doesn't have to be this way. Anybody else? Why in the world does our family get our leftovers? Why in the world does everyone else get a smile and your family gets a sideways look? A grunt in your direction? A lot of times we're tired by the time we get home. Right? Everyone else gets your caffeinated, hyper-happy self. And by the time 5 o'clock rolls around, sleepy time she comes. Amen. But our families, I try, and I am so not there. But our families deserve our best smiles. Amen. It's not really cool in your workplace to like be near somebody and not in any way acknowledge them. Right? To like walk by. Don't you hate it when you're like walking by someone and it's like how awkward. I looked at Indeed, and people are writing about that, about these employers. Like, in this place, no one even looks at each other in the hallway. I withdrew my application. Why? Because what does that tell you about a workplace? There's not a closeness there. We all do our job, but we're not doing it together. No one's having fun. We're all just getting through 9 to 5. And we're all just waiting for 5 o'clock. Amen? And it can get the same way in our families where we're just waiting for 10 o'clock. We're just waiting for 11 o'clock when everyone kind of calls it a day and calls it a night and goes to sleep. But my God, our family has the opportunity to bring so much life to our walk with God. Amen? Our family is the greatest opportunity we have in our walk with God. As I've mentioned before, Brother Pasley said, they're our first missionary field. If your family doesn't make it to heaven, but your best friend does, how much have you gained? Our children miss it. Our spouse, How sad is it? Oh my goodness. How sad is it with children who grow up in a minister's household, grow up to disdain this way of life? And it's not because of Acts 2:38. It's because of how the life was lived behind closed doors. Amen? So if we ever have any question, we need to apply to ourselves sometimes the 1 Corinthians 13 test. Love is patient. Love is kind. Am I loving? Am I kind? Do I keep a record of wrongdoings? All these things. Go through that list. Do I do these things? Now, what is the currency of healthy relationships? The answer to that, That would be one of them, yes. And trust. Trust is the currency of healthy relationships. Trust is the lifeblood of healthy relationships. It is so hard. You ever had a friend? You ever have a friend that you realize you can't trust anymore? Oh, I hate that feeling. I hate that feeling when, and you do, you have to be honest with yourself. There are some people you can't trust. You can like them, right? You can love them, but you can't trust them, you know, as far as you can throw them. It just is what it is. They are who they are. You just can't trust them. It is hard to have a close relationship with someone you can't trust, that you can't trust to tell the truth, that you can't trust to put your best interest first. Relational integrity builds trust. Amen. If there be one goal out of this, it is, Lord, help me to walk with relational integrity. Help me to be the same person no matter who I'm with. Amen. Help me to be the same person right here as I am at the kitchen counter, as I am on the living room sofa. Help me to be the same person at the workplace. That was my biggest thing. I remember hitting an altar and realizing I was a total fraud and everything I was doing was fake, a performance for what audience I was in front of. And I realized, I said, God, help me, Lord God, to just do the right thing no matter who I'm around. God, help me to do the right thing. And my life changed when I realized it is extremely freeing. You find so much freedom when you just do the right thing no matter who you're around, because you don't have to worry about who's watching. You don't have to worry about what people say. I hate to say it, but I really don't care entirely about what people say about me, right? Because when you know, when you're living your life set upon a rock, people are going to talk. Your reputations may come and may go. They called Jesus a wine bibber. They called him all sorts of things. But God lived his life according to the word of God. They're going to say all kinds of stuff. But when you know what you know what you know, it doesn't really matter. Amen? When you know what? I'm changing. I'm living my life on the rock. And I'm not sweeping stuff under the rug. That's one thing with families. We sweep stuff under the rug. Things that can sometimes be like cancer to relational integrity and trust. Amen. It takes communication. We need to communicate more in our families. You hurt me. I hurt you. I am sorry. I've been listening to, you know, people in startups and leadership. And it is awesome to hear other people, even secular people, or at least people who don't have truth, talk about being so honest with their mistakes. Like, you know what? I was selfish towards you. And one guy said, I took advantage of you and I didn't even realize it. I'm really sorry. I was wrong. But you know what else he realized? He said, I fall into that trap a lot. So you know what? I'm going to try not to do it again, but chances are I probably am. And you tell me again when I do. And I'm going to try my best to change it. And that's something we need to realize with families too, is to give each other enough grace to know there's probably an area that each member of your family messes up in, like often. Like, almost like they're born sinners and conceived in iniquity, and in sin did their mothers conceive them. Amen? Sorry, moms. We have enough grace to say, you know what? They're going to fall again and again and again. But you know what? I'm going to speak the truth in love. And I'm going to tell you when you're wrong. Amen? John says, speak the truth in love. And sometimes we get tired of speaking the truth in love. That's family. It's family. We're not going anywhere. Amen? I want to get raptured with my family. That's all there is to it. We might scrap and struggle all the way there, but I want to take my family to heaven, whatever it takes. Amen, Ellie? Amen. You got a little temper. Trust is the currency of relationships. You deposit, you deposit, you deposit, you deposit. Sometimes in relationships, we just want to withdraw, withdraw, withdraw. Right? Like a kid who finally got out of his parents' house. Man, they were restrictive. I can't wait to go and get that. You know, people are offering me credit cards. Like, awesome. Bing, 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 bing. Withdraw, 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 withdraw. When you're a person in a relationship and all a person is withdraw, withdraw. Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? I need you. I need you. I need you. And you don't deposit with trust, you're gonna overdraw that account. Amen. People get burnt in relationships, even in the family of God. So we need to be careful. Little deposits of trust will go a long way when you're consistent. Because when you're saving and you save $5 every 3 weeks because that's when you remember to do it, you don't get very far. If you do it, if you save just when you remember to do it, you don't get very far. But when you want to build big, what do? You automate the process. What does that mean? You make it a part of your way of life. It is my habit that I will save every day. In our relationships, we need to build habits where we will build trust every day, every day. It might be just a 5-minute conversation. Hey, how you doing? How are you doing today? Really? I saw you were struggling. How was your walk with God? How was your time in prayer this morning? Oh, you missed it? It's okay. I did too. It's life. I love you. Let's try to do it tonight. Right? How are you doing? Little deposit, little deposit. Because when someone, that's what people are looking for. Seriously, that's what people are looking for in our families, is for anybody to stop what they're doing. And that's why people love Jesus. He would stop everything that he was doing and stop for one. I mean, seriously. On this guy, all of heaven and earth was rotating and going around in circles because of his word. But he stopped because of one person's need. Everybody's looking for somebody to stop what they're doing and look them in the eyes and be able to see really how you're doing. And what can I do to serve you? That's what everybody wants. I want that. And you're crazy to say if you don't want that. You want somebody to stop and take time just for you. Little deposits build trust over time. Our families deserve our very best. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the truth. I need to do it. I need to do it better. Moving on, a family. I hope you like the font I'm using. It's big. It is really quite big. A family leading in faith. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped page 2. That was page 3. A family chasing after God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 is God's design for healthy families. That has not faded away. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Can we stay there for a sec? Okay, right? Love the Lord your God. I love the beauty. I love how thorough God is. He's like, you know what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your center of your being, your soul, right? Everything that you aspire to be, but all your might too, right? Because loving God is going to take some might. And that's not talking about I might serve God today and I might not. That's talking about it's going to take some effort. It's going to take some early mornings and late nights. It's going to take some doing when you don't feel like doing. Because no relationship thrives when you just are a part of the picture when everything and everything seems to line up right. But healthy relationships are built when you do the right thing day in and day out. And that other person, your family, knows that they can count on Daddy to come home tonight no matter what kind of day he had. Amen? And so God is saying, I want you to love me with all your might, week in and week out. We can move on. Verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts thy house and on thy gates. Amen. We need to have conversations about God in our home. Amen.
This scripture is really
Right. Amen. Amen. You see, he said, love each other the way I have loved you. We would all benefit if we took a moment and say, how has God loved me personally, me as a person? What words would describe God's love towards Mark? Always first of mind, seriously, first thing comes to mind, long-suffering. I ain't even going to lie. Long-suffering. Emphasis, highlight the long and the suffering. That's how God's loved me. Graceful, merciful, good, 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 and faithful. Amen. And now he said, okay, now I want you to be that to your family. Long suffering and graceful and merciful and faithful to your family. Amen. Sometimes we've got to get our heads out of the clouds. Sometimes we think, man, I wish my family wasn't like this. I wish my family wasn't. Does that help when you think that way about your church? Negative. It doesn't. Because it is what it is. Seriously, you can get so caught up in, I wish we were like this family. Look at them on Instagram. Look at them on Facebook. They're all smiling. They're losing weight collectively. What in the world? What's going on? They got everything going for them. It's such a trap, amen? Because we can fall into the trap of thinking other families don't have problems. You know what? The Bernards have problems. They do. I wouldn't trade their problems. That's the thing. I don't know what other people have. I need to give other families the benefit of the doubt. They go through struggles. Other churches go through like really bad issues. Like, and when you hear about their issues, sometimes it knocks you on your rear. And it should make us thankful. And it's the same way with families. Amen. So don't go daydreaming about other families. That's some like practical thoughts. Don't go daydreaming like, I wish my husband, my wife, my children, look at them. Amen. God has chosen you as the priest of your home and priestess of your home, the under shepherds of your home, to love your children, to love your husband, love each other. He's chosen you. Amen. He thought you were enough. Where did he go wrong? The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. What determines the choosing is the person being chosen. Many are called, but only a couple actually answer the phone. Amen? And that's how it is with our families. You know what? It's not easy, but till death do I part. Amen? It's not easy, but I'm going to bring these kids into the world. Amen? And it is so worth it. People ask me, is like, woo, dude, you got kids already? I was like, you should know my movement. People be having kids like 14 years old in the apostolic church. Getting married at like 16. No. Yeah, I got kids. And you know what? I wouldn't change it for the world. It's so hard. So I tell people, oh my word, it's hard. But it's so fulfilling. And I didn't know what it was like until I knew what it was like. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. Amen? Life is so sweet when we include other people. We need other people. So, what is our family's central conversation? The world, the church, or God? And now I'm not saying you're somehow like evil for talking about any of these. Amen. We need to know what's going on in culture because we're called to be a bridge. And you're not very good at being a bridge if you're only on one side of, you know, whatever you're trying to bridge. We got to be able to connect with the world that we're swimming in. Amen. And sometimes all we can talk about the church and never talk about God. That's the goodness truth right there. This person and that person and Pastor and Julia and oh, music was this and blah, blah, blah. And then if anyone brings up the conversation of actually God, things get awkward. Right? It can get awkward in your own family talking about God. What is going on? But just like anything else, the more you do it, the less weird it gets. So just make it weird real quick. Amen? Talk about your devotions. Talk about your questions. We talked about getting in the Word of God. My wife's always asking me questions that I never have the answer to. Why is this person doing this? What's up with this person? Why are they doing that? I'm like, babe, I have no idea. Like, you gotta look it up because I'm lost. Right? But we need to have these conversations. Ask somebody a question, you know, and even it could even have to do with the times today. It's a healthy thing. Can anyone attest to it's a healthy thing when you talk about the goodness of Jesus? It's a good thing when you talk about the Lord with your brothers and sisters or your uncles and aunts or your husbands and wives. It's really cool. Like, it's really, really cool. Like, we need to talk about, like, specific issues too, like fasting with our family. Like, you can be in adulthood. You can walk with God for 20 years and not heard like a real talk about fasting. Because sometimes people are ashamed to talk about it, but we need to talk about it. Same thing with prayer, your prayer life. We need to talk about our prayer life with our kids, with our husbands and wives, because it builds you up. You're not, I think it's because we're scared to glorify ourselves, amen? We're scared of sounding prideful. And that's why people haven't talked about fasting and now they finally are. It's because, you know, the Bible says, you know, to do this stuff in private. I started fasting because I figured out another apostolic girl was doing it. And I got frustrated in myself. I got, like, upset. I got very angry. I was like, oh, this girl's fasting and I'm not? That's ridiculous. That's absolutely crazy. And that began me fasting. Because nobody was talking about it. Sometimes we don't do things because we think nobody else is doing it. But if we would talk about it, if we would talk about the things that we do, somebody else might be inspired to get in the spirit too. Amen? Pastor? Holy Ghost can keep our heart soft. Amen? Because when people, we get hard-hearted. And then when we try to talk about the things of the Lord, it's like the seed is like, oh, can't get in. Yes. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost, amen. It will give us better relationships even with each other and with God. And we need this. And that's why we're digging into this next point. In our families, we walk with God one of three ways. In spite of each other, right? Like, I'm like over top of you, like you're trying to keep me back, right? How many testimonies have you heard? I'll never forget about Sister Dean. But how many testimonies have you heard of people serving God in spite of their spouse or in spite of their children or their parents trying to hold them down and like having to kick over them? I'm going to serve God no matter what. Families can be like that. Amen. That's the reality. Or we walk with God independent of each other. That's the real trap within the Church of the Living God. Is to walk with God totally independent of one another. To be little islands within a home. And, you know, I do my devotion, or I spend my time with God, you spend your time with God, but we never really have any sort of connection. We never share our hearts. We never actually get in the spirit together, pray together. It's just me in my room, you in your room. I'll see you on Sunday. Amen. So not the will of God. Super not. We are not called to be roommates in the same home. Amen. But a family is connected because a body is connected. And when the arm hurts, the elbow hurts, and the eyeball hurts, because you know what? I want you to be well. Because when you're strong, I'm strong. And when she's strong, we're strong. And so it's about the family. Amen. Your health matters to me. Amen. I want to be a family that is in step with each other. Amen. That means we're doing this together. Arm in arm, foot with foot. If you're getting held back, I'm going to hold back too. I'm not going to push you aside and say, well, I guess you just ain't spiritual enough to be, you're struggling. You know what? Sometimes we need to slow down and say, this might be why you're falling, but you know what? I love you and we're going to make it together. This is how I've walked. This is how I've overcome some things. Why don't we do it together? Amen. I want to be a family. I want a family that will walk with God. I want children that will say, I want to walk with God like Daddy did. I want to pray like Daddy did. I want to read the Word like Daddy did. Amen. I want that in my family. Because I know all too well my kids are going to leave my home in just a few years. And I want them to walk with God because they want to walk with God. And they didn't watch my witness and say, it brought so much frustration in our home. But I want them to look at us and say, I want peace like Mommy and Daddy. I want joy like Mommy and Daddy. I want what they had. Amen. So within your family, what are the other members' greatest joys in God, greatest struggle today, and greatest hope for the future? Last question, Pastor, if it's all right, can we split this in two? Because we got a long way to go, and I'm excited to go there. But this is a question that we ought to be able to answer. Seriously, think about it. Husband and wives, think, or our children, I cannot wait to see the dreams that pop out of Judah and Ellie. But what are your family's greatest joys in God? What is their greatest struggle today? And what is their greatest hope for the future? You see, that's such an important question, because think about it. The other people in your family are likely to be very different than you are. And so what brings them joy in God might be different than what brings you joy in God, right? Some people, they get their greatest kicks out of worship. Some people get their greatest kicks out of teaching a Bible study. And I'm not saying one's better than the other, or, you know, but we need to be doing everything. Some people get their greatest kicks out of just serving coffee. Amen? We love that. Some people get a great, great kick out of doing all sorts of awesome things. We need to help each other find our greatest joy in God and make room for that. Because sometimes in a family, right, we can get frustrated with each other and hold each other back from serving God in the way that God made you, because it's not like how He made me. If someone loves just spending quality time with God, there's something in our flesh sometimes that wants to interrupt that. If someone wants to go out of their way and love on a person who has nobody and give to them, give their time, give their love to them, there's something in us that wants to say, stop that. Because that's not the way I was built. But you know what? We're built different for a reason. Amen? And we need our differences. What is the other person's greatest struggle? We watch each other struggle, and sometimes we just don't talk about it for a long time. Why is that? Sometimes we think it won't do anything. But there's nothing worse than struggling alone. Amen? And it doesn't have to be that way. And finally, what is your other family member's greatest hope for the future? Every person in your family has or has had a hope for the future. A great hope for the future. And if they don't currently have one, I commission you today to start breathing some hope into their lives. that there is a tomorrow that is better than yesterday, that our greatest days are not behind us. Amen. There is no reason why you cannot be a catalyst of change and of the Holy Ghost in your family to breathe hope and faith. Amen. God can use you. Amen. And we're going to cut it off at that. Does anyone have any thoughts, additions towards that? Put so much effort when we begin. When we begin our marriage or we begin with our kiddos. You know, the nursery process, painful, long, expensive, worth it. Amen. And it's the same way growing up. They might take more money, but as kids get older, and you guys know, they need direction and they need love just in a different way. They don't need a bottle held to their mouths, but sometimes they need saying, you know what? I've watched you for a long time, and it seems like God's been using you in this way. I've watched you since you were just little, and it seems like you've struggled with this. Is there any way I could help you out? Because sometimes it can feel as a kid that you're struggling alone. Amen? And so your family, amen, you be the one to open it up and say, I see you. I will not leave you where you are, but I want to pull you forward because I know you can make it. Amen? Amen? Anyone else? Don't forget your sheets. We will need this again next week. I love you all. I am so glad God has chosen us to be a family. And we'll dive into this next week. But even the children of Israel were considered families within the people of God. Family, 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 family. We're one big family. So you are dismissed. Be safe. And I will see you soon.